Before I share the message this morning, we do want to lift up Bob Gray's family, the passing of your brother. Was he from this area? Okay. From Versailles? Okay. So let's remember Bob Gray's family, passing his brother. And also, Lisa Nay is at home from the hospital. She came in. Came home yesterday, so, and Marty's here with us. He had surgery on Friday, and he's a trooper this morning up in the loft up there. So it's good to have you back with us this morning, Marty. Keep them in your prayers as well. All right, this morning, there we go. Last Sunday, I shared a message with you. I also sent you, taken from John chapter 20, 21, and the song that the choir opened up with, Pour It Out, is a good introduction to this message this morning. And then I come to the cross, they sang just now, very, very appropriate as well. Thank you, Mary Helen, for playing for us this morning. Tremendously, really blessed by that. The scripture is John chapter 20, 21. And as the scripture says, as Jesus said to them again in this passage of scripture, that peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. So I gave you some challenges last week, some inspirations to remember. I hope you remember those from last week about this, the mandate that we have. His mandate is what? Our mandate. Exactly, and thank you for remembering that. And this is the mandate that Jesus gave his disciples. He also individually gave them this same mandate, this command, that as he was sent by the Father, so he was sending them. And that comes on down to us today, that we are to go out and share Jesus Christ with others. So as we look at that this morning, last week, we talked about his mission. Well, his mandate is my mandate. It's kind of distorted up there for some reason. But and then his mission is our mission, and the latter part of his mission is our mission is to reveal the Father. That's why Jesus came to this earth. He revealed the Father. He said, "He and I are one, and we work together." And he also said, "I don't do anything on my own initiative except what the Father tells me to do." So that's good to know. How many of you always did what your father or your mother said? Did you? Sometimes we did, sometimes we didn't, right? But Jesus always followed through. He always was obedient in all ways. And that's why he said, "I don't want to do anything unless the Father tells me to do it." And guess what? One of these days, he's not coming back till the Father tells him to come back. Did you know that? Did you know that? Yes. Jesus don't know the day himself that he'll be splitting the eastern skies open. He'll be coming back. When the Father says, "Okay, son, go," he'll come back in the eastern skies, and everybody will see him. The dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive and remain will be called up to be with the Lord. And the second part of the mission that we're responsible for, as Jesus said, the Father's mission is my mission, and his mission is our mission, is to redeem man. So we can't redeem man, can we? But we sure can send them and show them the way to the one who can, and that is Jesus Christ. So that brings us up to today, as His mission is my mission, and that would be part three, to raise up the church. And Jesus said, who did He say this to? Can you remind me? Peter. Yeah, He said, Peter, upon this what? Rock, I will build my church, and what will not prevail against it? Hell will not prevail against it. So, Jesus was raising up the church, and that started in Acts chapter 1, chapter 2, coming of the Holy Spirit when the church was established. So, when we look at the next verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, for we are God's, what? Fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. So, I want you to think of a construction site for a moment. Just as a building is built by one brick at a time, right? You can't lay them all at one time. You lay one brick at a time. Just as the body of Christ has been built by one soul at a time. So, His mission is our mission. And we are to raise up the church as well. Now, we have a great location, don't we? We are seated in a right location, beautiful building, wonderful ministries, and yet lost people just don't flock in, do they? They should, shouldn't they? They should just come right on in here. They know we're here, right? They may or they may not. But that's not the way it always works. So, you know, I've read through the Bible many times, and I'm sure you have too, and not one verse which commands the lost to go to church. There's not one verse. But there are sure a lot of verses that command us to do what? To go out and get them. We are to go out. Well, matter of fact, it's in Matthew chapter 14, verse 23 that says, I compel. Jesus says, I compel. Well, He gave the illustration of the master talking to his slaves to go out. And they was throwing a feast and bring them in. I compel you to go out in the streets and the hedges and highways and compel them to come in. And that's what we are to do. So we are to raise up the church. So if we're honest, you know, it's hard enough to get ourselves to church and we want to be here, don't we? You ever get up some Sunday mornings and it's just hard to get yourself together, let alone try to get everybody together, the children as well, right? And if you've got kids, it's a major ordeal, isn't it, to get them here. You have to start preparing on Saturday evening, those Saturday evening baths, right? And then you still have a difficult time. See, there's always somebody who's not ready, right? Whose hair isn't cooperating. Hey, ladies, you have any trouble with that? I don't know. Somebody forgets to brush your teeth. And how do you tell if they haven't brushed their teeth? Breath, huh? And then somebody whose shoes are on the wrong feet, and I've seen that before. And that pretty pink dress on a baby girl. And, you know, this seems like perfect occasion to unleash a record-breaking mudslide, you know, like the world has never seen before. Well, I've heard people say over the years, and I've heard this many, many, many times. I've heard people, and I just laugh. It says, it's a good thing we finally made it to church. Because we almost lost our religion trying to get everybody here. Have you ever said that? Amen to that, huh? So we may think that you know, unsaved people will beat down the doors to get here. Several years ago, when I was in Logansport, Indiana, on a Sunday morning, one of the deacons came forward. I was up front and said, I have a couple back here in the front wants to talk to you. So I go back there and I talk to them. They was new in the area. And they said, before we enter your church, we just want to make sure it's okay. I said, okay, well, just take both my arms and I'll lead you up, you know, to the front. Yeah, sure, it's okay. And see, they did not know it's okay just to come right on in and have a seat and enjoy the worship service. So people don't always know, but if we go out and invite them and tell them it's okay and we would want them here at church, it surely makes a difference. So we are to go out and bring them in according to, well, as I said a while ago, compel them according to Luke chapter 14, verse 23. Raise your hand if someone brought you to Jesus. Did someone lead you to Jesus Christ? Yeah, I can say that as well. So we have to make that our mandate. We have to make that our mission. So that brings us to compel them to come. Luke chapter 14, verse 23. And then his mandate is our mandate. His mission should be our mission as well. And then also his motive should be my motive, should be our motive. Going back to John chapter 20, verse 21, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Now, there's four things that motivated Jesus to reveal the Father, redeem man, and to raise up the church. There's four things. And the first one is obedience. Remember I said a while ago that Jesus was obedient in every aspect of his life. He made it his purpose. He wanted to honor the Father with his life, and he certainly did. And we should honor the Father, the Son as well, and the Holy Spirit with our obedience as well. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, which says, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became, I got that underlined, obedient. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross that we sang about, that the choir sang about, I come to the cross. Very fitting, two very appropriate songs. Pour it out. And I come to the cross this morning. Now, if you aren't going after souls, you are missing a blessing. You're missing a blessing. It's called, and still being called obedient, it's disobedience. Why? Because it's really not an option. Jesus gave a command. And we just watched the drama back Agape dinner, right? Called what? Compelled. And what do we say compelled means? It means required, or it means it's a command, and we are commanded. It's not an option. So I know you may have a calling like singing and teaching and working behind the scenes, and I thank you all for that. For what you do, everything that you do here at the Versailles Baptist Church. But also, as the scripture says, send you. It's a calling, it's a command, and Jesus said it. It's like telling your son to take out the trash. Any of you ever tell your son to take out the trash? I had to take out the trash. I'm still taking out the trash. I have to now. So, and the son says, sorry, Daddy, that's not my calling. You ever heard that? It's not my calling. My calling is to watch TV and eat Cocoa Puffs. And the dad says, no, you will take out the trash or you'll be standing up because you won't be able to be sitting on your calling. That's a good command, isn't it? The second thing that we want to look at is the love. Love. Matthew 23:37 says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather you children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. I want to focus on that right there. Jesus spoke these words. You see they're in red letters up there. I hope you can see those okay. But you see, Jerusalem was the place, it was a capital of the church that Jesus was going to establish through the Jewish nation. They were to be the example that Jesus wanted them to be obedient, because he was obedient. And where it says that you killed the prophets, because we know the Jewish leaders, they rose up against this teaching and they killed the prophets. And I can just see Jesus as he looked out over Jerusalem, and it says, the Bible says that he wept. He wept bitterly over the nation of Israel. And here's our tragedy today. We're living in a dry-eyed society in a lost, dying world. We don't love the lost like we should, or else we'd be doing whatever we could to win them to Christ. Imagine this morning that a very wealthy person offered you $1,000 for each person you witnessed to this week. Offered you $1,000. No limit. As many as you could lead to the Lord. See, you do it 100 times, that's 100K, right? That's pretty good amount, isn't it? How many of us would be motivated to do that? I want you to be honest. Isn't a soul, though, worth more than money? It really is. And why won't we do for a simple obedience and love what we would do for money sometimes? See, Jesus gave his life. We should give our life in service to him. As we should. Now let's look at the necessity. John 3:14-15 says, and Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so much the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, you see the necessity of that in our day and time today, as time is drawing near for all of us, for the world itself, actually. That's why Jesus said in John 4 that we must work today, for the night is coming where no man can work. And Jesus was saying where no man will have the opportunity to go out and compel those to come in. It's a necessity for all of us. See, there's no plan B, contingency. See, there's no alternate backup method. See, if Jesus didn't die on the cross, there was no other way for mankind to be saved. See, the same is true about evangelism. See, God's plan is for people to tell people, and there's no backup plan. The best way to send a message or get the word out is word of communication. It's one-on-one. See, he won't send angels to do it. He won't write it across the sky as we're always looking up sky for signs and wonders and so forth. He doesn't do it that way. See, it's God's way. It's God's only way. If we don't do it, it won't get done. So we must do it. Remember last week I mentioned about if Jesus came up to you, placed his hands on your shoulders, and looked you right in the eye, and gave you that personal command. What was it? So I also send you. That's how personal it is with the Lord. And that's why Jesus took it very personal for himself, because he came to this world to die for the sins of the world. And he did it on the initiative of the Father. It's like the Father put his hands on Jesus, said, "Son, I'm sending you." This is the mandate. Because Scripture just says, in the right time, the Father sent the Son into the world to redeem the world from sin at the right time. So today is the right time. For anyone here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the right time. Isaiah also says today is a day of salvation. Today is the day. That's why Jesus said, so also I send you. And then we look at the joy. You know, in the Bible, you know, it talks about when you suffer, when you grieve, and when you're sorrow, count it a joy. James, and all the way through the Scriptures, and right here, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the what? Joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. And what's he doing? He's interceding for us, isn't he? He intercedes for us. What was the joy set before Jesus? What could he peer into the future and see that helped him to endure the cross? What was the joy? And I believe it was the joy of seeing people like you and me get saved. I believe that's what it was. You know, we often sing that song, when he was on the cross, what's the rest of it say? I was on his mind. Absolutely. See, what do we see as we look at the lost world around us, people like you and me once were? See, if your Christian experience has become, you know, humdrum, then get on the trail of some lost soul. Sharing the gospel of Christ will make a difference in your life. It really will. It will make a huge difference. When I was 16 years old, my dad helped me buy my first car. It was a 1957 Ford, 312 Thunderbird engine, four barrel, positive traction. Man, that was a happy day for me. It was a happy day for me. But the joy doesn't even show up on the radar compared to the joy of leading people and some of you since I've been here to the Lord. It doesn't even show up on the radar. And I call it, what a great, great joy it is. See, I love all kinds of sports. I do. I go to sports and I participate in sports still, even at my age. I love fishing. I love playing golf. And you know how enjoyable that is, especially to me. And if you would like to know, come talk to me about it. And I'll tell you how much I enjoy it. But listen, I'm a wordsmith, okay? And yet, I can't adequately express to you how much it means to me when I get to lead a person to Jesus Christ. or even get into this baptistry and take them under the water. There's no words that can express that joy. As Jesus said, it's a joy. As we read, looking upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who was for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. See, that's the joy. And see, we don't have to go through the suffering, the pain that Jesus went through. We get the experience of seeing someone accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. See, that's the great joy. I mean, it'll light up your life. It really will. What a joy it would be to see someone walk down this aisle today and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We'd all shout, right? Amen. Mary Margaret would be up there to welcome, wouldn't she? Amen. She'd be shouting with the angels. That's what the Bible says. When one lost soul accepts Jesus Christ, the angels in heaven are praising God. See, you are Christ's love letter to the world. You know why? Because when Jesus says, "So I send you," you say, "That's my mandate. That's my mission. That's my calling." It is for all of us to follow through what the Scripture tells us. You know, Scriptures are very true. Absolute. Any absolute truths are right there written in the Scriptures. And when it's a command, it's not an option. But what a joy, the Bible says, it is to follow through as Jesus did and being completely obedient in all ways of his life. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the inspiration of your Holy Spirit as you work in and through our lives, helping us to understand that we are your spokesmen, we're your ambassadors, we are your witnesses, we're your children, and you care for us, and you care for the world itself. That's why you came into the world. You poured it out to the world, who you are, and who you want us to be in your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father, we thank you this morning that we have this privilege a lot of countries don't have, to hear the gospel, to hear your word proclaimed. And what a privilege it is to have the Holy Spirit at work in our lives and making that very personal, that he's knocking on individuals' hearts. That's what makes it personal. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, Lord, they can. All I have to do is just take that first step, and Lord, you will help them with the others. All the way here to the front, to the altar. We're in your house. That's what makes the ground in which we stand holy. Whatever the decisions that needs to be made, has been made known by your Spirit to each one of us. May we be willing to make it public, make it known. As Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it provides salvation to those who need Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for this invitation, and Lord, we just pray that the ones who you're speaking to individually right this moment will respond openly. And Lord, we will rejoice on their behalf. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 100.